Hey, everybody, you are tuning in to Faces of Success Radio 101 FM, and I am so pleased to announce we have no other than Mr. Hartthorne James, an exclusive interview for you tonight. It's going down right here on Faces of Success Radio. For those of you that are just now tuning in, Mr. Hartthorne James is an American actor and director known as his role as Big Red Davis in the 1991 film, The Five Heartbeats. So you guys stay tuned. We are going to get ready for this interview. Right now, we're going to go to a break. Here's a song from Chris Jasper, his new release, For the Love of You.
Oh,
Okay, just as we promised, you guys just heard from Chris Jasper, his new release, For the Love of You. And as we promised, no other than Mr. Hawthorne James, we do have in the studio. How are you, Mr. Hawthorne James?
I'm wonderful, thank you. And how about yourself?
I am absolutely wonderful. We want to, from all of us here at Faces of Success Radio 101 FM, we want to thank you for being on tonight and taking the time out for this exclusive interview. So we want to jump right on into it with you. I just want to start out by asking you, you know, at what age did you know that, you know, jumping into films was something that you wanted to, would be, a, you know, to do with your life and your career?
Well, it wasn't so much film or television. It was being on stage for the first time when I was 5 or 6 years old, and it was magic. It's just, and the little bit of thing that I did on stage, it was just magical. So it started there, and it grew from there.
Okay, and so when you say that, what did you want to be when you grew up? I mean, before you reached that level, what was going through your mind? Is where you want? What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, there was all kinds of things. Just like any kid growing up, I went through all kinds of stuff. You know, even up to becoming mayor of Chicago, becoming an attorney, and then becoming mayor of Chicago. So it was a little bit of everything until I actually went to college and realized that what I wanted to be was a theater major, and then not knowing that I could actually make a living doing it. You know, I taught for 2 years as a professor at Illinois State University, and then I just took the leap and moved to L.A. to see what would happen. And it turned out pretty good.
Yes, it did. So when was your very first time you performed?
What, performed in what way? What do you mean by that?
As an actor. When was the first time you stepped on stage?
Well, I was, like I said before, I was 5 or 6 years old when I first stepped on stage. That was the first time that I actually ever stepped on stage and performed in front of an audience.
Okay.
It progressed from there. Yeah, and then, you know, I did a play or two in grade school, and then I did plays in high school, and then I went to college and became a theater major. And I've done over 300 plays in my life now. Matter of fact, I just came back from San Diego today. I got back to here 2 hours ago. I was working on a play, actually, which was being filmed. So they filmed it, and it will start streaming. So I never give up my theater roots. Film and television is just a part of it, but theater is the basic of my foundation.
Okay. Let me ask you, who do you look up to now as an actor or director, et cetera?
Who do I look? That's a funny question, because I have to say me. I look up to me. You know, it's
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so that's a good answer. And besides yourself, which actor
actors, you know, all the actors that I absolutely admired and love their work are not contemporary people. They're all the old school guys that I really watch their work. I watch people like Steve McQueen. I don't know if that's you or me, but there's a loud beep in here.
No, not
sounds
me.
Like a fire alarm going off.
No, I don't have any alarms going on.
Okay. It just happens every once in a while. But anyway, I mean, old school guys, I just watched a movie with James Garner. You know, those guys, Paul Newman, those are the guys that I've watched and I studied, because there's a difference. The art it has changed a lot. Now it's all about who can be a personality as opposed to an actor, and really finding good work to do. It's very much changed. And I'm all about the work. I'm not about being a star. That comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. I could care less about being a star. I want people to look at my work and say, that guy really moves me. That guy really knows what he's doing. Every time I see him, he's not the same person. He fits into whatever it is, whatever film or whatever theatrical piece or whatever television that you see, because I pride myself on being an actor first and foremost. That I'm that chameleon person that will fit into the script that I'm given to work on. I don't ever want you to look and say, I've seen that character before. That bores me. No, I want you to know that every time you see me, I'm working very hard to make sure you've never seen me before.
Right.
So those are the people I look up to. Now, directing-wise, it's a different question, because my favorite directors, there are two of them, really, and one was learned from another. My favorite director is Sergio Leone. There's a film that he directed several of the Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, The Good, Bad, and Ugly.
Right.
But the film that I look up to and I just watch all the time is Once Upon a Time in the West, and it's with Charles Bronson and several of the other guys that you know, Fonda, Henry Fonda. It's just a masterpiece of filmmaking. And then from that lineage comes Clint Eastwood as a director.
Okay.
The Unforgiven is directly from the directing style of Sergio Leone. And see, I grew up in a time when Westerns were very popular, and I still, a good Western will make me salivate. Because there's something about the characters. There's something about the lone man doing righteous work, et cetera. That's what excites me. So I'm that kind of guy.
Okay. With your cast, who is the funniest person in your cast in real life that you've worked with?
Oh, boy, the funniest guy. I haven't worked with funny people because I don't do a lot of funny stuff. I mean, I worked with Martin Lawrence, who, of course, is a funny guy. You know, I did an episode of Martin. But actually working with funny guys, the funny guys I've never really worked with in film and television, and the funniest guy is Paul Mooney. He's my number one comedian, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Mooney is just brilliant to me. And I do like Dave Chappelle, who I've never worked with. And then there's Cat Williams, who I've never worked with. I've met Cat, and I was actually supposed to be in a film with Chappelle. I forget the name of the film. It was where they was playing Con Air. That's what it was. And I turned it down. I said no to that, but for reasons. But yeah, those are the funny guys to me. The guys I work with, aren't funny. You know, I mean, most of the stuff that I have ever done is mostly drama, in film and television-wise.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, The Five Heartbeats is one of my serious favorites. I actually have that in my collection right now. But when you are on stage, is it easier to play the character when you're on stage, or is it easier for you to just be yourself?
Oh, no. I never am myself. Never, ever, never. Since I was 5 years old, I was never myself. You never play yourself.
Right.
You get to be that character. And that's the whole point about acting for me. It is you get to be somebody else every time. It's like I just played Frederick Douglass, the thing that we just did. I played Frederick Douglass, and it's about a meeting. See, Frederick Douglass and Lincoln had several meetings and the White House that most people don't know happened, but they had several one-on-one meetings. And this play is about those meetings. It's taken from Frederick Douglass's own biography, and this guy wrote a brilliant piece of material. So I got to play Frederick Douglass, which you will see streaming eventually, which will start streaming a month from now. But always, it's the character. I try and bury myself in that character. Never will you see me. It's like this thing,
well,
the Calzone Festival.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You did. You really did when in the Five Heartbeats, because when I, the first time I seen that movie, I was like afraid of you. I was like, golly.
That's exactly what, that's the way you're supposed to feel. If I have done my job correctly, that's the way you're supposed to feel. You see, I draw on all of my experience because I'm a kid from the South Side of Chicago. So, but at that time in Chicago, at that time before quote unquote integration, everybody lived in the neighborhood. So we got to see doctors and lawyers and plumbers and electricians, and we got to see pimps, we got to see prostitutes, we got to see everybody, and you were able to pick and choose and say, I don't want to be that. I tell everybody all the time, I say, I learned very early on, I didn't want to be no pimp because they work too hard. So, you know, but you got to see them at work. You got to see all these people at work. So you got to pick and choose. So now, I know what everybody does. I know what doctors do. I know how they speak and talk. I know how electricians work. And then as I grew older, I got to meet the politicians and the quote-unquote upper crust people. And I got, because of my education background, see, I was in Bobby Kennedy's house, and I smelt the dirty baby diapers. So
right.
I know everything. And I was an executive. At one point, the last 9-to-5 job I ever had was I was one of the highest black executives in Hollywood. So I got to sit across and talk to those people who run Hollywood. And they didn't know what they were teaching me. I was just the spook who sat by the door. They didn't understand that I'm sitting here soaking all this up and learning how this business really works from in front of and behind the camera. I know everything about this business. There's nothing. And most actors, Denzel and Sam Jackson, they've never been in those offices like I've been in there and able to just go in there and kick stuff. So I know this business. So I'm comfortable wherever I am. I know I've met kings. I've met queens. So I know them. And so therefore, when I go and do a character, I'm able to pull from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. And then I watch people every day of my life. I watch people. I watch people how they walk, how they talk, because I never know. I said, there may be a quirk that somebody has that I will say, I'm going to put that in my vault, in my head, and I'm going to pull that out maybe one day and use that. It's the way it's like something I did a couple of weeks ago for a friend of mine who actually did it on Zoom. She was doing a short film in Atlanta, and she asked me to play the father of an abused woman, and I had to do it on Zoom because it's the phone call, and I worked on it and I figured, oh, I know what I can do. This guy is from New Orleans. So I was able to pull a New Orleans accent. And later on, I was speaking with her on the phone a couple of days ago, and she said, yeah, and we all thought that that character that you did was great and that you came up. She didn't understand. I had to explain to her, even though she's not paying me, if I give you my word that I'm going to work on something, I give you everything that I have. I give you the same amount of consideration as I would give to someone who's paying me for $100,000 for the day. There is no difference for me. My word is my bond. So when she told me what the character was, for days and days, I thought about that character. And I thought, now, how can I make this really something special, something different? And one day it just came to me. There's a thing I was saying several, 5 or 6 months ago. I was watching some guys from New Orleans, and every other word out their mouth was, You heard me? You heard me? And I put that in the vault in my brain. And sure enough, I pulled it out 2 weeks ago. And that character, Odette, you heard me? You see how this works? And most actors
yes.
don't understand that. That's why you can see the same actor and you see the same performance they did 20 years ago. That's not acting to me. Acting is something
right.
different. It's a special gift and it's a special want and need that has to be within your soul. It's not being a star. It's being an actor.
Right.
It's like,
what has been the most challenging bringing one of your scripts to life?
Oh, well, all of it's challenging because I put in the same amount of work for everything, but it's, there was a film that I did with Alec Baldwin called Heaven's Prisoners. And that was one of my most favorite things that I have ever done as an actor. And it was totally botched by the production company. And this is honestly what happened with it. It was like I was playing a bad guy who killed Alec's family. And everybody in the film talks about don't mix with Victor Romero. Now, Victor Romero is a mixture of Cajun and Spanish-speaking character that is written in a series of books. And this was the first series. This was the first film in that series. And what happened was, which really ticked me off. I mean, it was the most disappointing thing. I was looking for this film to take me to a different level, to another level, because I love the character and the film was going to be good. But what they did was, and this is, I went in to do ADR one day. And ADR is automatic dialogue replacement, or they call it looping, because every once in a while there's a line that in the film or something that you have to redo, because when they initially did it in the production, there may have been an airplane flying over, there may have been a glitch in the sound, whatever it may be. So they bring in post production, you come in and you redo the line. Well, the directors told me, he said, when I went in there, I said, don't be upset, but we had to cut a lot of your stuff. And I said, why? And he fumbled around, and after a while, he just finally told me the honest, brutal truth. He said, we had to cut you because you made Alec look like a punk. So because I did my job, and he didn't do his, he's got 10 films lined up to do right behind this one. I'm looking at this one to take me to another level. But I get cut out of the film a lot. So when you see that performance, it is not what we shot. They cut me because Alec couldn't stand up to me. So those are the things that you face in Hollywood, especially as a black male actor. There are so many challenges in the first place, but if you're strong and you're good, they'll cut you. And that happens to me all the time. So, but I still love that character. I wish I had a copy of what the real film was, but I don't. And of course, the film didn't make any money at the box office because the fact is they messed it up.
Right.
And it was, and this time it was blatantly. And I've been told before why I get cut out of stuff. Every once in a while people will be stupid enough to tell me the truth.
Right.
But that is the challenge. And that film is why I just said to myself, I not only have to be an actor, but I have to start directing, because as a director, I have more control of what I do. If you don't have complete control as a director, unless you're Spielberg, but you have more control. I can't, and people have messed up my work from the beginning for the same reason. You make the star look like a punk. Because a lot of stars are not actors. They're not good, and we all know this.
Mm-hmm.
But they're stars because they have been, somebody has put money behind them and shoved them down the throats of the public and said, this is who you need to admire. And if you do that over, it's like politics.
Right.
If you If you put somebody in front of you and you keep saying over and over and over, this is the person, this is the person, that person may be the worst thing for you. But weak-minded people will say, that's what I need. Because
right.
it's propaganda. It's brainwashing. And it's been going on since the beginning of film and television. That's how the KKK rose again, because the president of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, watched Birth of a Nation in the White House. He was a Klan member, and he put the propaganda out that this is the greatest film ever made, and therefore the Klan rose. See, that's
right.
what film and television is. It's propaganda. It's extremely powerful propaganda.
Right. I actually, you know, feel that, you know, there's a whole, like, 95% what you're saying, I really can relate to it, because, you know, we try to help empower Black businesses and to stay afloat. You know, I'm in Reno, Nevada, and so you know that that's a very racial place to live. So dealing with that, you know, I could definitely understand where you're coming from. I also wanted to share with you, I've actually went to one of your premieres. It was so long ago, I forgot what it was called, so please forgive me, but I do remember Bishop Don Juan was there, and I just don't remember. I know it was in Hollywood, but it was a long time ago. I was out there covering some another event while I was out there, but long story short, I would definitely love to, you know, to be able to come out and to support, you know, anything that you guys have going on, and I really have enjoyed being able to speak with you this evening. And my question to you is, after all the experience that you had, and you know, all the stage plays and on stage time that you had, what is your deepest regret?
Ooh, well, it's the same stuff that I just got through talking about, is stuff that that I had no control over, stuff that I was cut out of for bogus reasons. I mean, you get cut out of stuff, and some of the stuff I look at, I say, yeah, it's like everything that I did in that we shot in the Five Heartbeats is not in there. And I look at it and I say, yeah, he cut it out because it wasn't necessary. He needed to shorten the film, and this particular scene wasn't necessary. Now, would I love to see it in there? I'd love to see the film as Robert shot it, but for different reasons. It's legitimate when you get things cut out. Those are my regrets. I hear actors all the time talking about, you don't need to see this film I did in 1994. No, there's not one thing. I'll tell you in a heartbeat. There's not one thing that I have ever done that I am ashamed of. You can watch everything I've ever done, and I'm very proud of every second of what I've done, because at that moment in my life, that was the best I could ever do, and my heart and soul went into it, and I am proud of it. When I first moved to L.A., I did extra work, and there's a movie called The Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich, and I was an extra in it, and you can see me a block away, way in the background, but I had no character going. I had no little limp, because that was the character. A block away, just an extra.
Right.
But I'm building a character. So that's the way my mind works. So, no,
right.
I don't really have any regrets other than what I didn't control. It's like the California Vegas Festival that we're getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to play Trump. Now, I've been, you know, how do I play Trump? How do I get to this character? Well, it's on my mind. It's constantly on my mind. I'm watching. I hate watching this guy. Oh my God! He just makes me want to puke. And I felt this way way before, because I was directing a film in New York called The Stick Up Kids, and the producers had a deal with Trump clothing to use some of that clothing in the film. And of course, I had to go to the place where the actors had to try on clothes. And I had to watch, you know, say yay or nay to the wardrobe. And I told them, I sat there on the chair and I said, look here, don't even think about me putting me in any of this crap, because this guy, I despise this guy. This was back in 2007. So I've known who this guy, and I've disliked him since 2007. So it's not, I'm not new to this game. He's been a
right.
jackass from day one, since I've even
right.
heard of him. So, but this is the thing, the character I'm trying to build, even though I can't stand watching him, I have to watch him to get the mannerisms. I'm not going to be him, but to get the essence of who he is, to build the character. And it's going to be fun because George Wallace is going to be in it, and Jay Lamont, A.J. Jamal, and a lady that's called Miss Arkansas. It's going to be a spoof on all this stuff. And it was supposed to be a live festival. Unfortunately, with the pandemic, that couldn't take place. So they decided to film it and stream it. And
right.
and the thing that I'm doing is we're doing the episodes. pardon me, of me playing Trump and AJ is going to play Kanye West Jay Lamont's going to be Obama. Now we're supposed to be debating, so I had to figure out a way how can Obama and Trump debate. But so I figured a way how we could work around that, because you know good daggone well.
Jay Lamont is so funny. Jay Lamont is so funny, and I used to be AJ's personal assistant, so him and I are very, very close. We've been knowing each other for years, but. Yeah, that is wonderful. I am really, as you know, from a black woman to a black man, I'm very, very proud of you and of all the achievements that you and have made and the success level that you have reached. And I mean, you know, my only problem is, you know, I just wish that we had more like control of our own stuff, you know, like we don't have to funnel everything, you know, through people that don't look like you and me, you know what I mean? And that's my only thing. I just wish like we had more of our own, and I'm just going to leave that there and not get.
But I'm not going to leave that there because what you're saying is absolutely true. And I'm not leaving it there because I'm fighting and I have been fighting all my life to make sure that what you mm-hmm. say happens, because I don't want to have to go through somebody else to get my truth. And I'm very happy to speak with you, because whether you know it or not, you are very important, because your voice, whether it hits 5 or 500 or 5,000 or 5 million, your voice is something different, which will stimulate someone else. We need more of you. And that's why I do shows. Even though they're not Jay Leno, and I prefer doing shows that are with my people, because my people are the ones that need the truth to be told, and truth that our specific truth, not from
right.
somebody else's perspective, from our perspective. So I'm not going to let you say you're going to leave it there. We need to fight and work to get our truth out, and it's going to happen. Because
yes.
I know people who are trying to do it and people who will do it. It may not happen in my lifetime, but this is
right.
important to me. And I've turned
yeah,
down $1 million at
me.
one slot.
Yeah,
you know, money doesn't mean anything to me.
We're trying to.
I'm sorry,
well, we've already begun. I, you know, am the leader of it that began. A Black Wall Street in Reno, Nevada, supporting all black businesses and stuff like that. And so, I mean, this show is about you, so we could probably talk about this on another day, but I'm really, the audience is, you know, I'm getting all kind of hits. And so I got to bring
up. You say this show is about me, and this is who I am. I'm about
right.
supporting my own people. And I'm
yeah.
even the film and television, like I said, I've turned down $1 million because it made us look bad. I want the money. Yes, of course I do. All my friends look at me when I turn down that $1 million. They say, you must be out your mind. But my feeling has always been, if you sell your soul once, how easy is it going to be to sell it the second time and the third and the fourth time?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So, yeah, the show may be about me, but that's who I am. So we are
yeah.
talking about me.
Okay.
I'm not
well,
just an entertainer.
we have a couple of callers in queue, and so I'm going to bring one in from the 314 area code. Hold on, caller, you are on the line right now.
Hi, this is Candace Black, and I want to tell Trump I am so ready for him. And it's going down, that's right, real soon. And and I hear you naming all these guys as your favorite comedian. And once this is all over, I'm going to say comedian Miss Arkansas going to be your favorite female comedian.
All right, Miss Arkansas.
So all this right. Comedian Miss Arkansas, and I just want to say to Mr. Hawthorne, Big Red, this is such a blessing to be in this with you. I have been one of your fans for many years, and I've always wanted to meet you, and I love how God brings things to pass. And I'm looking forward in doing this with you and pray that we do so much more together.
Amen to that.
Well,
yes.
Miss Arkansas, where are you calling from?
I my number is St. Louis because I left kids and grandkids back that way, and I ain't want them to have to call long distance. But I'm in Las Vegas.
All right. Well, thank you for your comments. And we have another caller that's waiting, and then we're going to have to go to a break. And then when we come back, we're going to go right back into an interview. So we got one more caller from 281. Caller, you're on the line now.
Hi, this is Gigi, Station Success Radio Station Manager, and Mr. Red. I want to give you a compliment. Don't listen to those other people. You are a good actor.
Thank you, ma'am.
And, okay, the movies, the character who I like that you played in was that pimp who you played with on Snoop Dogg. You did a good, serious acting.
That's bossing up. And I think that's the film that you're talking about you came down and saw, because Bishop was there for the premiere of that film. So they may have been bossing up. And I enjoyed doing that character because that was something different for me. So I appreciate that. I really thank you for that. Because
you are very welcome. God bless you.
Same to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Gigi, for supporting. Hold
you're
on.
Welcome.
Hi, we got one more person that's blowing up the line from the 213 area code. And hello, our caller, you're on the line, 213 area code.
Hey there, Hawthorne. This is Ron. How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, hey, I just want to say, you know, as the creator and the one to put this festival together. Hawthorne, man, we're so proud of you, man, with all the work that you've done over the years, you know. And, you know, I want to personally thank you for accepting the role to play Trump, you know, because it's going to be awesome. And I encourage, you know, all of the listeners out there to support this. You know, it's very informative. Even though it's a comedy, you know, you're going to see some real stuff, you know, because it's basically improv. And you get to see Hawthorne at his best, going up against George Wallace, A.J. Jamal, Jay Lamont, Miss Arkansas, so on and so on. You know, so a really good cast of actors, you know, as Hawthorne would say, you know, these are actors. You know, so you're going to see something phenomenal. And Hawthorne, man, you know, you keep it going, brother, because, hey, man, a lot of people look up to you. A lot of people respect you. You know, I certainly do, you know, and I appreciate you, man, for sure.
Well, thank you, Ron.
Sir,
but, Ron, could you also let them know about the streaming aspect of this so that they know how to, because I don't have the information. So if you have anything you can share right now, would you do that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, go to www.CZVFestival. That's Charlie Victor, CZV, Charlie Zebra Victor Festival.com. And take advantage of End of the Summer Special. You know, it's only $29.99 for the stream. It'll be coming out in October right before the election, and it's going to be one heck of a debate, you know, between Kanye, Big Red playing Trump, and Jay Lamont, you know, playing President Obama. So, yeah, that's where you can get the information. Get your tickets, CZVFestival.com. We also have a marketplace up there for, you know, you to shop, and if you have a black-owned business, put your business card, you know, get a banner, put it up there so people can shop and patronize you as well. So it's, you know, you guys talked about doing black content. That's what we're all about, is doing black content and continue to move it forward so we can have our own platform. You know, so please, everyone,
Amen.
You know, support this event. This is, you know, this is major for black entertainment.
Well, thank you. That is so wonderful. And what area code are you, I mean, where are you calling from? San Diego?
No, I'm from Los Angeles. I'm in Las Vegas for this production, but I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, nice meeting you. My name is DJ Success. You're on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. For all of you that are just now tuning in, we have none other than Mr. Hawthorne James, his exclusive interview this evening. We're going to go for a short break. And when we come back, we'll finish up this interview. And you guys, stay tuned.
Just like music. So I can be free and absorb the sound that keep me round, doing my thing constantly with no worries, peace to keep Murray. Just like music. To keep me flowing, to keep me going, to keep me growing, to keep me to eat from knowing what happens out there is not my concern. You want to die, it's not my turn.
Just like music.
To do something to me like jumping a Mercedes on the highway, doing over 80 without music, baby.
Ow! I'll go crazy. Just like music.
Make me call my homie on the phone, like there's something new out that got me in the zone. Just that feeling got me, I wish music can adopt me.
Just like music.
My woman got me in the air saying sweet nothing. Make love come out the mouth, no fronting, like all of a sudden.
Just like music.
Taking away your worries and cares. Any problems, music will be right there. Together match, yo, we a perfect pair. Is that true, Marvin?
Yeah, music.
Yo, to get you the bangness, body soul snatcher, universal language. It be the light to open up. This is it, what the fuck?
Just like music.
One fly tune to have black and white vibe in one room. No confrontation, party all night. It's just a sensation.
Just like music.
We are back in the studio with Mr. Harthon James, and for those of you that just are tuning in, you are on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. I'm your host, DJ Success, and we're going to jump right back in with Mr. Harthon James. And Mr. Harthon, do you want to share any website information, any booking information for those that are out there that are listening right now?
Well, just my Facebook is just Harthon James, H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N-E, last name James. And my Instagram is Harthon 2995. That's H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N-E 2995. And that's where you can see all the information. I post everything that I want you to know and want you to be able to see and contact me, talk to me, you know. I'll even ask you yourself every once in a while. So those are my contact things. But fun, you know, when I have an opportunity, I love to interact with people who are thought provokers and those who really, really mean something. But DJ, I always like to say this, especially to black people. I thank black people all the time because you're the ones that have kept me in this business, because there would be times when I would be standing at the at a gas pump trying to figure out how much pulling pennies out of my pocket, and some homeless person walks up to me and says, "Yo, man, I really like your work. Keep it up. You represent." And they'll walk away. They don't understand how important that was to me at that particular moment, because I'm thinking to myself, why am I putting myself through this? I was accepted into law school. Why do I really need this? And some black person will walk up to me and make me suck it up and say, yeah, because what I do is important. What I do is care about us. And somebody's got to say no. And I don't care if anybody else does it. I really don't give a damn whether anybody else does it or not. I'm going to be down for my people forever until I'm 6 feet under. No, I'm not going to be 6 feet under. I'm being cremated. But until I take my last breath, I'm for my people. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, because I believe in us. And I know how great we have been. I know how great we will be. So I always say, thank you, black people, for supporting me and keeping me there.
Right.
And making me and demanding of me, I do my best. Thank you.
Right. Amen to that. And, you know, I want to also ask, if there was someone interested in booking you, who would they contact, and how would they be able to get a hold of you?
Just hit me up. Like I say, you hit me up, send me a message on Facebook, or whether it be Instagram, hit me up. And depending on what the project is and who's involved, et cetera, I may talk to you personally, or I may have a rep hit you up. But generally, I like to talk to the person myself and then have somebody else do the negotiating, whatever it may be. But, you know, if it's business, if you want to book me for something, hit me up. And we can talk.
Yeah, cause,
I may or may not do
all
it,
right.
But we can. But I'm very open to working with people.
Okay, because I know you only work from 9 to 5.
when it's about them ducats and about something that's really good, I'll expand those hours.
Well, we want to thank you for being on the show. I really love it. And like I said, I want to thank all the audience. I'm sorry I can't get everybody in tonight. Our lines are being hit at, and we're running out of time. And I know that we just want to say thank you once again to Ms. Harthon James. And if you got anything coming up new, shout to us right here on Faces of Success Radio. And have a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you much.
Thank you too. Bye bye now.
Okay.
Bye.
We'll be right back.